Hey, it's Jeff Zito. Check out the Celebrity Jobber YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/@CelebrityJobber. And please subscribe to it. All past episodes are on celebrityjobber.com and available on all platforms. And I'd encourage you to leave a review. And if you like this podcast, a 5-star rating is greatly appreciated. Kevin Harrington is famous for being a businessman. I mean, obviously, he became somewhat of a celebrity when he appeared on the first 2 seasons of Shark Tank. And his background is basically being the guy who invented the infomercial, or at least the specific model, his model of the infomercial, which we'll get into in just a little bit. And because of that infomercial, he's been involved in so many different businesses, including his latest, the Boomin' Belt, which is a pretty cool, stylish-looking belt, but the belt buckle's a Bluetooth speaker. It's perfect for the golf course. Was he always destined to be an entrepreneur? What about his first job when he was younger? What did he want to be when he grew up? Entrepreneur Kevin Harrington is my guest this week on Celebrity Jobber.
The Celebrity Jobber podcast with Jeff Zito. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, give a 5-star rating, and leave a review. Check out all our past episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you pod. What if these celebrities weren't famous? What would they have become? What was their first job? We're about to find out.
Kevin Harrington, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You are really interesting because I've had great success with Kevin O'Leary, who every time I post a video on my YouTube channel for Kevin O'Leary, it goes crazy. So I was like, oh, man, another shark. This is great.
Yeah, O'Leary's a trip, isn't he?
He sure is. I didn't know if that was like how he really was in real life.
You know, it's his brand, you know, being the tough guy and all of that. But you know, when you get with him socially, he's actually very, very calm guy. And, you know, he's a funny guy, actually. But no, but he is a little bit of a tough guy.
Yeah.
Not quite as bad as you see him on TV.
Right. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Cincinnati, lived there for the first 28 years of my life. And my dad was in the bar restaurant business. And when I was 11 years old, I started working in his bars and restaurants. And, you know, bar backing and dishwashing, all the grunt work, you know, nothing glamorous like serving meals.
Right.
You know, I was cleaning the grease traps in the kitchen.
Wow, at 11 years old. And then you actually started your first business when you were in high school. Tell me a little bit about that.
I had said to my dad, you know, hey, look, I appreciate working in your place. And he was mentoring me. And I said, but I want to make some real money. He said, well, you have to start your own business. And so I, you know, and this is now 50 years ago. I'm 67 now. So, you know, when I was 15, I started my first business, you know, 52 years ago. And it was, you know, people say, well, what did you do? I was sealing driveways.
Okay.
Like, it was labor. You know, they didn't have the internet, you know, so I couldn't do digital ads, you know, for you know, how to make money on the internet. It's like, you know, I was like, how do you make money as a kid in Cincinnati, Ohio, back in the 60s? Well, I was knocking on doors, telling people those cracks they have in their driveway are going to get water in them in the winter. When the water freezes triple the size of the crack, you better protect it now and I'll beautify it. Boom, boom. And I did that for 4 years through high school. And then when I got to college, my dad said, you're the fourth of 6 kids. Your sister's got their college paid for, but you're not getting yours paid. You know, good luck. Go pay for it. So I'm like, well, I can't do, driveway sealing was just a summertime business. I then said, what's year round? I started a heating and air conditioning company, installing furnaces and air conditioning systems. But what I had was an awesome lead source. every new homeowner transaction in the Cincinnati area got a phone call from one of my people that said, congratulations on the purchase of your new home. We're going to come out and show you how to work that dangerous appliance, the furnace in your house.
Wow.
We'll clean it while we're there free of charge. And so we were getting into 20, 30 homes a week. And then I would go out at night and say, oh, hey, you want a new air conditioning or furnace? Anyway, that was while I was a freshman in
college. Wow. Where did you get the desire at such a young age to, you know, want to make money?
So, you know, what's funny, there is a desire to make money. I mean, my mother was very financially oriented. And so when they went to buy a house, she went to the best neighborhood that she could find and got the cheapest house. And so I went to school with kids that, you know, my best friend, his father was the CEO and chairman of Kroger in Cincinnati, Ohio. He lived, you know, about 3 minutes up the street in the new section where all the rich people lived. But he went to the same school that I did, and I was hanging out. Tommy Williams was one of our schoolmates. His father owned the Cincinnati Reds, and now he owns the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, wow.
His father has passed away. So there's Tommy Williams over here, and there's Mark Everingham, CEO of Kroger. And Mark, when he turned 16, he got a brand new TR6 sports car, absolutely free, never worked a day in his life. Me, I said, my dad isn't giving me a sports car. I'm going to make the money for the sports car. So I paid cash for my sports car when I turned 16.
Wow.
And so I was motivated to keep up with my friends who were given everything. And by the way, you know, it is what it is. You know, if you grow up in a family and your father built something that was very substantial, another friend of mine, I mean, I played baseball when I was a kid for the Basco Bullets. And Basco was the name of a shower door company that the pitcher, his father was the coach and I was the catcher. Well, his father passed away and left my buddy the business, Basco Shower Doors. He just sold it for $400 million. Okay. So it's like, hey, that's pretty good. He was at the right place at the right time, you know? And, you know, a lot of my friends were gifted things. And I don't hold any of the grudge being gifted something. God bless that they were able to be gifted that. But if you don't have it, you can make it. And that's what I said.
So, Kevin, you're known for inventing a specific way to do the infomercial. So what's the specific way you do the infomercial, and how did this all start?
I quit school. I bought a house, and I'm watching cable television. I ordered cable. I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1982. Cable TV launched, and I had 30 channels, and I'm going through all 30 channels: CNN, 24 Hours of News, MTV Music, ESPN Sports. I get to the last channel, channel 30, and there's nothing on, just these colored bars on the screen. And I called the cable company and I said, hey, I love cable, but I'm paying you for 30 channels. I'm only getting 29.
Right.
There's nothing on that channel 30. They said, oh, you tuned in during the downtime of our last channel. I said, what do you mean the downtime? They said, it's Discovery Channel. They don't have a budget for 24 hours a day. It's an 18-hour-a-day channel. You tuned in while it was off air. I said, off air? It's 6 hours of nothing? They said, exactly. And I said, well, let me come down and talk to you because I want to put something in that six-hour block. And that's what I did. And so that was the birth of what I started doing, which really is the infomercial industry. And I started putting products on there. But I also was generating, you know, leads and all kinds of stuff. But everything changed. From there on, I was no longer in any other business but the buying up all the unsold media everywhere I could in the world.
So how did you find the products to put on the infomercials?
I sold the heating and air business, and when I was selling it, I saw this whole process of business brokers. Business brokers, I'm sitting with a guy, he had 200 businesses for sale. And what did he have? Because he was selling them, he had the books and records, their leases, their numbers, their percentages. I said, this is the college education that I never got.
Right.
You know, looking at hundreds of businesses for sale, why they sold, what happened after they sold. So I started a business brokerage company, and that's when I was traveling all over selling businesses, and I'm at the Philadelphia Home Show, and this guy had a knife in his hand, huge crowd around this guy's booth, and he's pitching like crazy. He's cutting through a Coca-Cola can, through a hammerhead, through a pair of sneakers, through a muffler, and I'm like, what's this guy doing? It's called the Ginsu knife.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. He's selling me something. So he's like, you know, the Ginsu's 1995, but wait, for the first 10 people, 6 free steak knives, a bread knife, a paring knife. Boom. The guy sold out all of his knives. And I went to him afterwards and I said, man, I said, that was the greatest sales pitch I've ever seen in my life. I watched you do it 3 times. You never changed one word in your pitch. And he says, kid, what the hell do you want? You're bothering me. He said, I'm busy. Okay. I'm like, no. I said, I've got something for you. He said, what do you have for me? I said, you do this how many times a year? His name was Arnold Morris. He said, I do this 45 weeks a year. I've been doing it for 15 years. I'm the greatest knife salesman in the world. I've been on the David Letterman show. I've been everywhere. And I said, guess what? I'm going to shoot your pitch, and I'm going to take it to the world, and you're never going to have to travel again, because 45 weeks a year, the guy was on the road doing the same thing. We did it. We filmed it, put it up. That became a global frickin' home run, and we did hundreds of millions of dollars.
So you found all the products by going to all these different trade shows, and then what, you became partners with them?
Yes, exactly. I never invented anything. I never had my own products. I always partnered, because to invent, by definition, outside of inventing the infomercial, which is a whole other concept we'll talk about, but to invent a product, you know, you got to do the tooling, the manufacturing, the molds, the inventory, the this, the that. I'd go to the Chicago Houseware Show, and I'd meet with the guy that had juicers, and then I'd say, well, you know what? Jack LaLanne just called me and was looking for some projects. How about I put Jack LaLanne and the juicer together?
Right.
And so I was marrying talent to product.
Wow.
In fact, this guy walks in my office. He's got these two little steppers on the floor, and they're piston based, and they go up and down. He calls it the super step. And I said, it's like a little, you follow what I'm saying? You step on it and you go up and down.
It's like a little stair climber.
Right. So I said, these are two little pistons. I said, what can you make this thing for? He said, my cost of goods on this is $35. I said, we can sell it for $119. I said, you know, Bruce Jenner was just here, and he wanted to know if we had any fitness products. I said, I think this one could go. So I called Chris Jenner back, and they said, oh, man, we love that product. That was their first infomercial. It did hundreds of millions of dollars, and I did another 5 infomercials with Jenners. All of their first, Chris Jenner was awesome. We were sending them huge checks, royalty checks. And so, yeah, people came and pitched me. I went to trade shows. I went to the houseware show, the hardware show, the fitness show.
So what did you study to do in college? And what college did you go to?
I went to the University of Cincinnati.
Okay.
And I was in business, but I really was in school because my mother wanted me to go to college.
Okay.
You know, I had graduated second in my class in high school and was very good in math and calculus. I was very strong in calculus and math and all that good stuff. And then I get to the University of Cincinnati and I wasn't challenged and just I had a business. So I, you know, I, after a couple of years of it, I couldn't do both and just left. But my mother's father, my grandfather, he was the president of Fifth Third Bank in Cincinnati when there was only, they had two banks and when it first started, you know, and like Fifth Third is now one of the biggest banks in the country, but she came from very financial stock. And she's like, you know, hey, I know your dad is an entrepreneur in the bar business, but your sister married a doctor and she was summa cum laude and president of the sorority, and your other sister married a lawyer and she's a school teacher, and your brother is a corporate guy, works for Gillette, and you are going to be a doctor or a lawyer or some big corporate executive and graduate from college. And that's what my mom was telling me, you know?
Kevin, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for speaking with me today. I just wanted to plug Kevin's event, Spend a Day with a Shark. He does them all over, but in St. Petersburg, Florida, November 28th, the Hyatt Downtown St. Pete. You can sign up and get more information on Kevin's website, which is kevinharrington.tv. I also hear you're a pretty good golfer.
I'm a hack. I'm a 16, but I love to get out there and do it, you know?
Right, right.
So anyway, I'd love to play sometime if you're going to be around.
My brother is the general manager of Avala. So, you know, anytime you're in Tampa, you want to get on Avala, you let me know and we're there.
Nice. Awesome. Hey, thank you. Where do you live, by the way?
I'm in St. Pete.
Oh, geez. Okay. Me too.
Oh, are you? I didn't know you lived here.
I belong to Vinoy and Pelican. And with your connection at Avala, we got the bases covered.
And I got one more connection for you. My dad is a member at Longboat Key Club. So we got that connection. So now anytime you want.
That's super.
Now we got the whole area covered.
Good. Let's focus on getting a golf game sometime here, over the holidays.
Sounds great. Sounds okay. Great. Thanks for your time, Kevin. Appreciate it.
It was great talking to you and look forward to meeting you also.
Ditto.
Thank you.
At an early age, Kevin Harrington just wanted some of the things that his friends had. He didn't have, you know, just any kind of regular friends. One of his friends' dads owned the Cincinnati Reds. Another one was the CEO of a major grocery store up in the Midwest, Kroger's. Another one of his friends' dads was the owner of a pretty huge shower door business, which ended up selling for $400 million. So Kevin saw at an early age that wasn't going to be him. He wasn't going to be gifted the new sports car for his birthday. He was going to have to work for it. So he became kind of obsessed with making money at an early age. 11 years old, his first job working with his dad at his dad's restaurant in Cincinnati. Worked a 40-hour week when he was 11 years old. Formed his first business when he was in high school, sealing cracks in people's driveways. Then he started a heating and air conditioning business, sold that, and got into business brokers, which showed all of these businesses that were for sale, showed their books, and that is what gave him the education for being an entrepreneur. Parlayed that into finding the guy that did the Ginsu knife. It slices, it dices, it julienne's. Saw him at a trade show, thought about the dead space that he saw on cable TV in the middle of the night, put those ideas together. There you go, Kevin Harrington, very wealthy entrepreneur. Such a cool story. So thanks so much for listening. Of course, if you like this podcast, please give a 5-star rating, leave a review. Past episodes are on celebrityjobber.com. Again, got the new YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/@celebrityjobber. Also, you can check us out on Instagram, Celebrity Jobber Podcast, and you can stream us on every platform. And that'll do it for another episode. Who knows? These celebrities, they didn't get their one big break. They might be a regular 9-to-5er, just like you and me. But not Kevin Harrington. He's a little bit different. Looking forward to playing golf with him. All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeff Zito.